Comedy Podcast. Lickety go to making the lies the last go. Hey everybody, how you doing tonight? Everybody rocking tonight. We'll save some lives in the meantime.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Chomedy Podcast. Ken Allen saying howdy doody, how's we all doing back in the over and around there? Is everybody happy? Everybody having a good time? Everybody feeling fantastical? Well, bombastical even. I want to say thanks again for listening up and passing this along. Remember, if you go to the Chomedy Podcast site, click on the Amazon banner on the right-hand side before you do any of your shopping through Amazon. All you got to do is just go to chomedypodcast.com. Click on that, go to the right-hand side, you'll see it says Amazon Fire, just Amazon banner, it's what it's called. It's just a link to Amazon, and you go on there, and then you shop for whatever your heart desires, whatever you need. It's been raining out in Marin County and the whole Bay Area, and you know, you may need some rain gear, you may need a slicker. You may be a firefighter who's looking into getting some really cool stuff, like, you know, streamlights and cool bags and rope bags and things you want to have on your helmet and, you know, all that stuff. If you're an EMT, you want to get like a nice blood pressure cuff and a Littmann cardiology stethoscope, just go to traumatypodcast.com, click on that banner, and then shop. And at no additional cost to yourself, I get a little kickback. And I'll tell you what, I kind of need it right now. So if you can remember to do that, that'd be great. You can even just set it up as a link that goes to the site. And then when you click on that that little flag there, it'll send you right to Amazon, and then right there you can save that link there, and it'll just normally bring you to Amazon. You guys are more computer savvy than I am. And you shop, and you shop, and you shop. And you'd be the good consumer that the United States has made us into. We're perfect capitalists. So help me out in the name of that, because I'll tell you what. So my situation now is this. I've been cut off for disability, so I'm no longer getting any disability pay as I'm out on cancer. That is a bummer. I am now scrounging to live off of what I have. I got some money in the bank, luckily. Also, I have a loan, you know, a loan that I took out for the house, and I didn't have to use it all. So I'm kind of living off of these things. So good news is I still have health insurance, so I'm still set there. But, you know, the funds are dwindling because I got this new house and the mortgage is what it is. And you can't not pay that. And I don't want to lose Unitet Studios in beautiful Woodacre, California. This place is gorgeous. I live in up in the treehouse. It's like the Ewok Village. And I can't lose the Ewok Village because if I do, then I'm relegated to couch surfing. And so all of my friends out there, I'm telling you, if you don't want me sleeping on your lazy boy, go to the Amazon banner and click through and buy your stuff. RC cars, Liam, anything. Guys, I'm telling you, go through the banner. Get me some paid. So that's the situation right now. I'm dealing with this whole case of my cancer. And if you haven't listened before, so firefighter, EMT, paramedic. I'm also an EMT and paramedic instructor, recently got cancer as of November. Well, got diagnosed with it as of October and had treatment with a surgery in November, and I've been out since then recuperating and then also doing radiation treatment. It's cancer of the olfactory nerve. So the consequences of getting cancer medically and lifelong longevity-wise, lost my taste and my smell, and it may come back, but the chances are now getting slimmer and slimmer because, well, I mean, if it's not coming back by now, it probably won't. And that, I'll tell you, that's a big bummer. I don't know, I don't know what anything tastes like. I don't know what anything smells like. I don't know what my house smells like. Listen, I got to courtesy flush whether or not I know if I need to or not anymore. I can't smell shit. I cannot smell anything. So, you know, now my water bill is suffering. And you know, I don't know if like you got to be very diligent and very cleanliness, be very clean, because I don't know what anything smells like or tastes like, and so any of the stuff in my fridge, I can't just smell it and go. By the way, a bachelor's life, right? You grab like the food out of the fridge. Shit. I used to eat street food in in Mexico. I had no problem with that. I got street food in Thailand. It was no big deal. Smell it. I got an iron gut. I can handle it. But now, I just don't know how long that rotisserie chicken's been sitting in there. So, grocery bill now is getting higher and higher. So, you know, all of this stuff, all because I had cancer, all because I had to get that olfactory nerve lopped off, and now I'm suffering for the threat and the lingering paranoia that it's going to come back. That's the worst part. Now that I'm finishing up treatments, it's kind of like now it's done, and now it's a waiting game. I don't know what is going to happen next. I have to go in for another MRI 3 months from now when they're going to examine that area, see if they can't find any tumors growing. Hopefully they do another PET scan, and they'll send in some radioactive sugar that basically will the cancer cells will pull up and start to eat, and they can use some radioactive, that radioactive sugar will show up on a CAT scan, but they call it a PET scan. I'm guessing it has to do something with electrons. That's how scientific, that's where my science goes, and that's where the doctors researching cancer, that's where they pick up. So I'm learning more and more about it, but to keep it in lay person's terms, it's a waiting game. I don't know what's going to happen next. So, and I've been cut off, so I don't know what to do next, other than I got to find some other ways of making money. I'm going to start doing some PSAs. I'm going to start doing some other way where I'm sitting at home and I can start making some money before I can get back to the job. But in all honesty, I don't know how long I can do this job, especially if I've caught cancer already. It's not like it's a bug, but the idea that these carcinogens can stay in your system for what they call a latency period of up to 25 years is very scary, which means that you could get something into your system and then 25 years later, that starts to affect your DNA, your cellular DNA. That's frightening. That's terrifying. Especially with the fact that this tends to come back that fairly regularly, but I feel like I think I'm ahead of the game here. I don't want to lose any other senses. It did kind of crawl into the eyeball, the back of the orbital, but they said they got it all. The doctors I talked to, I mean, they were pretty confident about it, and I was confident in them that they did get it all. So, no sense thinking about that stuff doesn't get me anywhere. There's zero benefit to thinking that, well, you could die tomorrow. I mean, we all could, right? So anyway, it's a moot point. I have to start planning for the future. And the future is, I play music. I'm pretty good at being an orator. I don't know, you tell me. How's this? Is this fun? Are we rolling along like a beautiful bouncing red ball? And you're enjoying this little conversation that I'm one way giving to you? So, if I can do that, hopefully I can start making some money on the off, on my off time that, you know, if and when I have to go back to work, I'll have some money saved up before that. And then who knows where the next vine of life of opportunity will be and where I'm going to swing to next. You know, you're all swinging on a vine. I'm swinging on this vine, and this vine's kind of slowing down, and I'm losing momentum. But guess what? There's going to be another vine in my view coming up. And I just have to have enough momentum to jump to that next vine and see where that takes me. And I got to have enough strength and enough belief that I'll catch it and go to the next thing, you know, enough courage to jump. That's a big step, and that's what I've been planning my life for now. There's really no sense. A lot of stuff is shed, like the shedding of all of my sinus cavity epithelial tissue. Shed a lot of different people in my life who've kind of found they didn't have enough time to talk about this stuff. But you know who's been around? Friends and family. And those people have meant the world to me. They have no idea how much just spending a day with them grocery shopping or with the nieces where they ask me, hey, are you going to come and walk the dog with us? You know, they, and I spent the night with my sister last night and, you know, slept on a blow up mattress in the kids' room and the, you know, next to the kids' rooms in their rumpus room, if you will, because they have a rumpus room. Yep. In the morning, they both woke up and jumped on the bed, and they're just showing me stuff that they have. Like, oh, hey, this is a picture of my friend so-and-so, and she likes it, and we do this. You know, and they're just there with you and present, and they include you in their lives. And it really brings so much energy and so much positivity to your life that I'm lucky that, because I don't have children of my own and I don't have a significant other of my own, that they are, you know, my proxy for children, for kids. And they've just really, really brightened my day and turned me over. So I want to tell you, if you're suffering from cancer and you're going through this stuff, don't be alone. It absolutely does not help. You got to find ways of being out with people and finding people that are going to stick with you. And then just sticking by them too, in case anything happens to them. But also just get out and make the change that you need to have in your own lives. So that's the number one thing I need to pass on to you tonight, today, whatever time you're listening to this, I don't know. The other thing is this: I'm putting together a lecture that I'm going to go and speak to different fire departments, different universities, colleges, with emergency caregivers or doctors or medical schools, and explain my whole situation from being a caregiver, being an emergency responder, and then becoming a part of the patient care chain, becoming that patient and seeing how important it is as caregivers to be compassionate, to be present, to be kind, to be proactive and just personal and you know, to, I don't know, responsive to your own issues. It's very important. And I was very fortunate. I didn't think Kaiser was going to be as good as they are. And boy, was I blown away by my doctors, the type of surgery that I went through and the success of that. And then the afterwards in the hospitals, that how kind and good the nurses were with me. And then also with the radiation, how these nurses and doctors and caregivers have been with me. So personal. I mean, you walk in and they, hey, Ken, hey, how was that Super Bowl party you said you were going to? Like, they just remember your life that you talk about for 10 minutes with them while you're going through treatment. And they ask about that. And that stuff matters more than anything else. That matters more to me than if they were doing the right treatment and they were cold and impersonal. It really does make all the difference. You leave there that day going, oh, that was nice. That was nice. And I'm excited, or I don't mind at least going back tomorrow. I'm not excited to be irradiated by gamma rays. That's not the most fun thing to think about. Hey, tomorrow I'm going to get a little bit more of a minor dose of radioactive shots in my face, right across my eyeballs, right across my hearing. So I lose more of this, all of this, you know, sensitive cells. But if they're there talking to you and they, you know, not even baby you, but just, all right, you ready to go? Cool, here we go. Boop, and we do it, and now we're out. Hey, I'll see you tomorrow, man. Have a good day. Right back at you, man. You know, guys, I'm telling you, at those clinics, pardon me. Hey, look, and if I sniff and snort, well, it's not because I'm a gross individual. It's because I'm getting rid of the dead particulate. So cut me some slack, Jack. Anyway, that's very important, and I'm going to do a lecture about that. But the other lecture I want to talk about is how to prevent cancer, how to keep yourself safe. Ironically, I've been following up on this stuff for a year and a half, 2 years. It's crazy. I feel like I'm supposed to be the spokesman for this. You know, I spoke with Tony Stefani from San Francisco Fire two and a half years ago about his experience, just because it, you know, it such happened that the circumstances were that I got in contact with him, friend of a friend, actually Devin McLean, you know, he's been on the podcast before, said, hey, I know this guy. He's a great guy. He's very, very personable and also can speak very well. So why don't you contact him? And he went, sure, I'll talk to you and no problem. Which, like most people I've ever contacted for a podcast have been like, and went and spoke with him. And he knew my dad. You know, my dad was San Francisco Fire as well. So we had a great conversation about his unfortunate situations that he had to confront and go through. It's if you can't find it, go check it out. Tony Stefani, I think it's called Working Class Hero, Tony Stefani. And it's his story about going through cancer and then fighting cancer up to the federal Supreme Court, dealing with that. And it's detailed in Toxic Hot Seat, which was a documentary made a few years back, which you need to pay attention to. You need to go find on Netflix and absorb that. It's on HBO. If you don't have HBO Go, I'm sure has it. So take a look at that. Just if you're a firefighter, it's worth an hour and a half to look into this stuff. So my other whole lecture is going to be about real simple things for us lunkheads to think about during a fire and after fire to keep ourselves clean from all those trace class one carcinogens that are out there. Okay, you ready? Hang on, I'll wait. Get a pen and paper. All right, ready to go? Okay, so here's the first thing. I'm also thinking, listen, we'll get into it. I'm such a circumlocutionist. I'll get back to it. You go on a fire, you go into that fire, you got to have an SCBA on. If you're going into a toxic environment, make sure you're breathing your own air. You got your own equipment for that. Take care of that fire, mitigate it, get out, change air bottles. But here's the other thing, captains, if you're listening, set up a hose on the rig, on the pump panel, that you can just flush off the firefighters that are coming out. Just gross flush off. Just flush off all of the, you know, loose insulation, the soot, the grime, the creosote, that whatever's on there. And then go in for salvage and overhaul. But guess what? When you go in, stay on air, dummy. Stay on air. I know we don't want to. You're tired. Our shoulders hurt. It's heavy. You're pulling ceiling. It's a pain in the ass. But if it gets that bad, then we're gonna cycle crews through. Okay. So what's that mean? We have to have a couple more crews on scene, or the same crews, and you have to go through a few more bottles of air. It's worth it. It's worth it. Put your air back on for salvage and overhaul. Don't be inhaling that stuff. Don't have it on your face and everything. I'm telling you, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's worth having sore shoulders for the next 2 days. And, you know, by the way, if it really is, do some shoulder shrugs, okay? If it's really that, sore the next day, maybe you need to work out them delts and some lats. That's all I'm saying. Do some lawnmowers, man. Kettlebells, you know? I don't care where you work out. Get some stuff that's going to keep you in shape. Anyway, then come back to the station after the fire. Get your gear off. Take off all this stuff, all the equipment, and transfer it right then and there into new gear and the new turnout clothes or your new PPE or whatever you happen to be doing. I'm always using fire as a reference. But change out your gear into clean gear. Take the old gear that's all dirty and sooted and just charred, broiled, and black, and, you know, all of the formaldehyde on there, you know, that high reek of plastic. Get that off and into a bag. If you got biohazard on it, whatever, put it in the red bag. If you got the regular, you know, carcinogen stuff, put it in the clear bag or whatever your policy is for your department. Tag it. Send it off that day, the sooner the better, especially in a busy department, because you know you're going to get another fire pretty quickly. So do not wear dirty stuff. Bag it, change over your gear, you're ready to go on the next call. Next thing to do, into the shower. Get some heavy-duty cleaning soap. I'm going to look into making some high-quality detoxification poultice, like sucking the carcinogen shit out of your system, soap. Maybe it's like, you know, soap with a, it's like a soap with like a sponge on the side of it, or like a Brillo, or like a brush on it, where you can literally scrub your skin. and clean yourself off. And then really the most important for me, it always seems, is the hair, because the hair holds so much smell and so much chemical. I don't know, when you've showered and you've after a fire, you come out, your hair still smells. The next day, maybe you're jogging and you can start to smell the smoke coming out of your hair follicles again. That's not good, because guess where it's going? Right into your skull. It's going in your skull, man. And that's where my cancer was, in the nose, and went all the way back up into my brain. So that is just sitting there and slowly being absorbed beyond this hair into your scalp, from the scalp contact into your skull, onto your skull, into the capillaries, into the venules, into the veins, and then pumped through your system. And you don't want that. We got to get rid of that. So shampoo your hair. You need to get some high definition, high detoxing shampoo that you can scrub in there, and it sucks that crap out, like Gojo or lava soap for your hair. Then, when you're done with that, flush off and scrub yourself again. Do it all twice. Especially focus on the lymph nodes, okay? Like groin lymph nodes, get that stuff. You don't want to get, prostate cancers and things. So get all your nether regions, get up into your armpits, get up into your neck, into your head. Ladies, make sure you're getting your breasts. Make sure you get the axillary lymph nodes. You know, it's like 7 times higher the risk of breast cancer in female firefighters than in people, in women that are not firefighters. Don't risk it. Save your boobies, please, for my sake, for your sake. I'm kidding. No, I mean, I'm serious. Just take care of yourselves. You know, you don't want to have any of that issue. And, you know, guys, I'm telling you, just take same thing. Everybody, get the lymph nodes, get down by the pelvic area, scrub that area where the ovaries would be. Every little bit helps. Every little bit helps to mitigate that kind of high cancer risk. Take care of that for yourselves, for your family, for your babies. I mean, especially if you plan on having children and you want to breastfeed, like you don't want to have that, or you have kids and you're breastfeeding. You do not want those carcinogens being ingested into your baby. So, I mean, all of this stuff is really, it's that where the rubber meets the road. It's where the carcinogens meet your skin. And we need to scrub and get rid of that stuff very effectively. So shower, scrub, wash off, scrub again. Take care of yourselves. Then you get out and you're getting tired, and it's like maybe it's 3 or 4 in the morning and you don't want to go any further. The last thing you need to do is go to the desktop, go wherever the computer is, and you fill out those exposure reports. I don't care what kind of fire you're on. I don't care what kind of minor leak, gas leak, whatever it happens to be. It's not a hazmat scene. It's just a small car fire. Well, I barely had to put on the mask. It was just smoldering. Dudettes, you need to have a stack of exposure reports, because when and if you have to make a case for yourself, those lawyers are going to want a stack of exposure reports. That's going to help your case to such an extent that you might, if it really has to go to court, you'll have a case against the state of California or the city or the state that you work in or wherever it happens to be. The more documentation you have, the better. And remember, like they say with paramedics, if it's not inside your patient care report, it didn't happen. So you need to be thorough. You need to explain what happened on that fire, what you're exposed to. Class 1 carcinogen exposure to chemicals, to gases, to formaldehydes, to metals, benzenes. Those all burn in fires, and they're all being absorbed either if you're in there breathing that or if you're in there and your skin is absorbing it, okay? Write it down. Hey, it takes like 5 minutes to write an exposure report. You can, as a captain, even just write it for your crew, put your name in there, and then save that document, and then have everybody else in the crew show up. You erase their name, your name, and then put in their name, and then they, same thing. It says the same thing for every one of them, and you'll start documenting these cases. I know a lot of us were very good at this in the beginning of our careers because we were diligent and we thought, well, these are the first couple of fires we've ever been on. And so they were new and we were doing all the right stuff. And then later on, you kind of get a little blasé about it because, well, it was just a small fire. And it was a room and contents. It was, and you're tired and you don't want to do it. And I now am dealing with this. I've talked to the lawyers and I said, well, yeah, I got a bunch, maybe a dozen, but like, that's not enough, man. It's not enough. Like you want 50, 60, however many you can get, write it down. Find an excuse. Even the diesel fumes on the rig have benzene in them and it's a class one carcinogen. And you could say even as a paramedic rumbling in the car on a cold winter night, when you're sitting in the ambulance, that's burning diesel. And that's an exposure, technically. So if you're stuck in a standby somewhere, well, you could write that down as an exposure report. I don't care, any supervisor is not going to get on your case about it. And if they do, that's illegal. So don't hesitate. Write that down. So in closing, here's how it works. Wear your right SCBA and PPE into the fire. When you come out of the fire, get hosed down. And if you have to go back in for salvage and overhaul, put that SCBA back on, wear it as you do salvage and overhaul. When you get back to the station, change out your PPE, throw all of that gear into a bag, tag it, send it out, and then shower. Scrub once, wash off. Scrub twice, wash off. Get out and do an exposure report. And all of those steps are going to incredibly increase your safety. They're going to decrease your risk of catching cancer. And if you do contract it, you're going to have some paperwork that's going to help your case. So that's it in closing. That's a real brief synopsis of what needs to happen. And you don't want to get stuck in this situation where I'm in. It's not as bad as I'm making it out to be, but it is something that's in the back of my head all the time now. I have to find a way to get some money here. I have to find a way to survive. And don't we all want to survive? Like I said, you spend your whole lives, your whole career, saving people's lives. Make sure you're saving your own. Make sure you're taking care of your families. Make sure you're not a cautionary tale to your friends. Dot your I's, cross your T's. And I will see you soon. Hey, and here's the other thing here. Check this out. I'm putting it together with a little song. And here's the song I'm going to play for you now. See if you can't remember it. I always realize, you know, if you put it to lyrics and a little beat and a little melody, for some reason you can hum it in the back of your head when you're half asleep and you're doing all of this work that I told you to do. And it's going to make it a little easier to follow through. So, without any further ado, here's the song. But before we go, remember, it's Kenneth Allen saying, if you got it, use it. And that includes your know-how to save yourselves and to make a nice, happy retirement for yourselves. Okay? I love you. Be safe out there, boys and girls, friends and families of all ages. If you got it, use it. And now, the PSA about keeping yourself clear and clean from cancer. Welcome back to the segment I lovingly call Kenneth Allen Saves the World, one song at a time. And this song goes out to all my firefighting boys and girl buddies. You know who you are. It's about trying to keep you clear and clean from cancer. One of those big C's that you really don't want to have to mess with at any point during your life, let alone your career. And here's a couple of tips to extensively minimize any kind of risk to absorbing those class one carcinogens that can stay in your system for a latency period of up to 20, 25 years. And you're gonna have to go into some kind of litigation, and you don't wanna have to do that when you're getting older and you just wanna enjoy your retirement, you see, or God forbid, on the job. So I've always found that if you put some information into a melody, for some reason it's a little more easily retained. even for the most thick-headed numbskulls out there that still find it difficult to put on a seatbelt every time they get into the rig, or brush their teeth twice a day, or even, you know, wash your hands after you use the bathroom. No. I'm going to put it to a little ditty. It's only going to go about a minute after this, but just listen up and see if you can follow these real simple steps to enjoying a long, happy life with your loved ones and family. And that's what it's all about, boys and girls. Here we go. And it starts a little something like this. Well, first you take off your gear and you put it in a bag, either biohazard red or clear. And you fill out the tag and then you jump in the shower. It's so warm and nice. Make sure you get your face and feet in buns. Shampoo your hair twice. And now you're getting kind of tired, but this last part is really short. You fill out an exposure report. Just fill out the exposure report. It's on the desktop. So fill out an exposure report. Because I'm telling you, it's a big pain in the ass if you don't. I mean, if you do have to go to court at some point, your lawyer's going to say, well, do you have all your exposure reports? And you're like, well, yeah, I have like a lot from the beginning. I mean, like from the beginning. You're like, well, because I mean, I was pretty diligent when I was a new probie and like fires were new and like all this stuff was... And I was just on top of it. And then, you know, I kind of got used to going on fires. And I was like, it's just a rumor contest. No big deal. And so I didn't really fill it out for that one. And then it was like, oh, it was just a car fire. I didn't really have to do that. And the lawyer's like, car fire? Do you realize how much is in that car fire? Like, how many chemicals? They're like, well, yeah. I mean, they're like, well, can you track it down some other way? And then, you know, the lawyer's like, it's going to be a pain in the ass. So listen. So all I need to say, long and the short of it is, get them done, fill them out. It takes like 5 minutes. Just go on the desktop and fill them out. Because then you're going to have to go and fight like the state of California. And who do you think is going to lose first? You or the seventh largest economy in the world. Okay? My pockets are dry, ladies and gentlemen. So listen, this is going to be a real simple fix. If you could just get off your clean little bondy-doos and fill out an exposure. Fill out an exposure report, dummy. I mean it. Everybody be safe out there. Bye.